You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Look up in the sky!
It's the superhero of travel. It's Ricky Tyers from It's Your Time to Travel, ready to take you around the world by air, land, or sea, even by flying saucer. And we're live on TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio the way it should be heard.
You're listening to It's Your Time to Travel on TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio hosted by Ricky Tyers from Tyers Tours and Travel. And today's show is 9/11 made this tiny Pennsylvania town world famous. The terrorists drove United Flight 93 into the field at 563 miles an hour. I read that the plane was inverted and was driven to the field at 563 miles an hour. The plane hit so hard, the ground swallowed it up. Then the FBI came and the ATF and the NTSB and every other agency with a shred of jurisdiction. Thousands of people, FBI agents sat on their knees and combed the ground with their fingers. They excavated the crater down 40 feet. They removed every scrap of steel, every piece of flesh. They tore this place apart, and then they paved it all over with dirt. One of the travels that we did, and we'll get to this in the second half of the show, is we traveled to Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and we stayed at the Hershey Inn and saw the Story of David at Sights and Sounds Theater. And then on Wednesday, we left there and went to the 9/11 Memorial. And we will talk about that more as we get into the second half of the show. But the 9/11 Memorial, if you've never been there, is a awesome museum. It's a national park, and it's a place you need to visit. But first, when was the last time you took a vacation? This is the Did You Know? When was the last time you took a vacation? A majority of Americans have traveled in the last year, and confidence in taking an annual vacation hits record levels. Defining a vacation as leisure travel of at least a week to a destination 100 miles or more away from home. The survey revealed that 57% of Americans have taken a vacation the last year, up from 44%. 2022 marks the highest percentage of Americans who reported traveling in the last year since 2009, when the first survey was conducted. Of the respondents who have traveled in the last year, 2 in 10, 22%, traveled in the 3 months leading up to the survey, with the 18 to 34-year-old demographics leading this trend, and they're at 29%. Signifying a new norm of American prioritizing vacations, Alliance survey also found that 3/4 of Americans, 74%, considered an annual vacation important, a huge leap from 60% in 2019 and 1 point higher than last year. Mirroring this trend, confidence in taking a vacation this year also has never been higher, with 65% of Americans expressing positive intentions to vacation, up 2 points from last year and a stunning 13 points over the highest prior year surveyed, which was 52% in 2014. Vacation deficit is at an all-time low. Percentage of Americans who say annual vacation is important to them but are not confident they will take one this year. So in 2022, the percentage of Americans who are experiencing a vacation deficit returns to 19% compared to 44% in 2020 during the height of the pandemic. And with more Americans back to traveling and with vacations intentions remaining strong, the vacation deficit is nearing an all-time low. Looking at those who have been waiting longer to travel, 43% of Americans who have not taken a vacation in a year or more is down 13 points from last year. Older Americans, 55 plus, are demonstrating more hesitancy about taking a vacation. They're at 55%. The younger counterparts, 35 to 54, is at 44%, and ages 18 to 34 is 31%. As our lower income Americans, they're at 56% of those making less than $50,000 a year versus 34% who makes more than $100,000 a year. When was the last time you took a vacation? Call us at 866-547-5362 to plan your next vacation getaway. When was the last time you took a vacation? Call Tide Surgeon Travel at 866-547-5362 to plan your next vacation getaway. People are traveling, man. I mean, this year, I've been to Vegas. I just took a group to Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and Shanksville, Pennsylvania. We were up in the mountains of Pennsylvania. So people are traveling this weekend. There's so much going on in the area that we live in, Columbus. There's a Cincinnati Jazz Festival, which has sold 90,000 tickets. And it is a 65,000-seat auditorium. And they sold 90,000 tickets for two shows, for two nights. Last night, I went to the Rib Fest here in Columbus, and that place was absolutely packed. Saw a big group traveled here from Pennsylvania to enjoy the Columbus Jazz and Rib Fest. So this just in, turbulence. On the last show, we gave you reasons you buckle up for turbulence. This just happened recently this week. At least seven people were taken to hospitals following a serious turbulence incident on American Airlines regional flight. The Embraer 170 plane from Tampa, Florida to Nashville hit unexpected turbulence. It was diverted to Birmingham, Alabama after six passengers and two crew suffered injuries. Another 10 people were examined for injuries in the Birmingham Fire and Rescue. Another 10 people were examined for injuries, according to the Birmingham Fire and Rescue. The Federal Aviation Administration is investigating the incident. So, need to explain what unexpected turbulence is. The reason you buckle up is for turbulence. Turbulence is the main reason passengers should buckle up in a flight. Turbulence is that rocking, shaking feeling caused by a shift in airflow is very common on flights. Chances are you experienced turbulence of some degree on your last flight and you're likely to feel it again on your next. This is why a seatbelt is definitely necessary. The reason you must wear a seatbelt, flight crew included, is because you don't want the plane coming down on you. To explain this, it may feel like we're lifted up during turbulence. The sensation is actually produced from the airplane dropping. It comes down hard and it comes down fast, and that's how passengers get injured, by getting hit on the head by an airplane. A bout of bad turbulence can lead to injuries, especially if you hit your head on the bulkhead or slam your arm against an armrest. In more extreme circumstances, turbulence has been known to throw people full force into the ceiling of the plane, which can cause concussions, broken bones, and possibly even more serious injuries. So, in the example that I gave of the plane flying from Tampa, Florida, they said they hit unexpected turbulence, and we'll get into what that is. So, how pilots know when to turn the seatbelt sign on. Of course, there are ways to predict when a plane might encounter turbulence, but it's not always foolproof. Pilots can use maps to avoid thunderstorms, dangerous winds, or even turbulence. However, you can't always know what's going to happen on a flight. While pilots do their best to turn the seatbelt sign when they see a pocket of turbulence coming, there's always a chance that it can still come without a warning. So this flight from Tampa, when it says unexpected turbulence, that came with no warning. That came with no warning, so people were up moving around. The stewardess were doing their business, and this unexpected turbulence hit, and people were injured. Whenever the seatbelt sign is on, you should stay seated, buckled up, and not call for the flight attendant. They need to think about their safety too. However, if you're staying in your seat and the seatbelt sign is off, you should still keep it buckled. You never know when it's going to happen, and it happens even when the sign is off. That is when what is called clear air turbulence. Turbulence is no joke. People get hurt, and it's always better to be safe and prepared. So think twice before unbuckling just for the fun of it on your next flight. Did you know Tire Susan Travel can book your airfare? Call us at 866-547-5362. So we traveled to, you're listening to It's Your Time to Travel on TalkTimeRadio.com. Radio the way it should be heard. Stay tuned for 9/11 made this tiny Pennsylvania town world famous. So in Travel with an Expert, this about a week ago, we traveled from Toledo, Ohio to Lancaster, Pennsylvania to see the story of David at the Sights and Sounds Theater in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And from there, we also went to Flight 93 National Memorial in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, which is about 167 miles away. And riding a bus in the mountains of Pennsylvania is no fun. But the reason why we went to Lancaster is to see the story of David. The story of David is not every battle is won with a sword. Master poet, fearless warrior, anointed king, from still waters to shadowed valleys, David's ascent to the throne is filled with towering giants, wild animals, and soldiers. After victories led to devastating failures, this passionate warrior would face the biggest battle of all, the one within himself. Come along with this young shepherd on his journey to become a man after God's own heart. The amazing thing about Sights and Sounds, it is a theater that brings Bible stories to life on the stage. Every production is a spectacular show with a meaningful message. Edge of your seat action meets heartfelt drama on a panoramic stage. And when I say panoramic, there's a front stage and then there's side stages. And they feature massive sets with special effects and live animals. Live animals are running down the aisles during the story of the play. Sights and Sounds' unique theater experience begins with a 2,000-seat auditorium, a 300-square-foot stage that surrounds the audience on three sides, a cast of 50 actors, state-of-the-art technology, and live animals. During this presentation of David, it's a pretty amazing story. As you know, David took down Goliath was a big victory for him. And then David replaced the king, and David became king. So the story goes on. David made some decisions as king that many people question, and that's part of the story. But the effects of the story is so strong that during the presentation of the story, we had snow falling down on our head. We had live animals running down the aisles. The stage changed almost instantly in front of your face. The stage had giants, and again, the stage is panoramic. So there's things going on around you all the time. And it was just a tremendous show. Everybody loved it. I haven't talked to anyone yet who was not impressed with the presentation of David. But we also stayed at a hotel called Hershey Farms, which is on the same property as Sights and Sounds. So many people were able to walk from Hershey's Farms to the theater because it was so close. But Hershey Farms has about 60 rooms. It's an inn. They have three separate buildings. They have a swimming pool, a fishing pond. In the package for David, we offered the bus ride. We offered two breakfasts and one dinner, plus tickets to the play. So everybody thought it was a pretty amazing price. Like I said, Hershey Farms is on the same property as Sights and Sounds. Everyone had a great time. Like I said, Hershey Farms consists of three buildings. Everybody, there's 50, 51 people on the bus. Everybody stayed in separate buildings. And they just enjoyed it. It was such a great time. And the food, I mentioned that we offered two breakfasts and one dinner. And the food was amazing. The food was absolutely amazing. I shot video of people eating breakfast and dinner, and no one complained about the food. The food was simply fantastic. So we have scheduled a trip to see Moses at the same time next year to see the story of Moses. Moses is a story that's been around for a while. People love the story of Moses. It says, far from perfect, yet close to God, from the banks of the Nile River to the depths of the Red Sea, Moses is a spectacular entertainment experience for the whole family. Set for drift as a baby, he is an unlikely hero until God calls him to lead his people out of Egypt into the Promised Land. Journey with Moses as he travels through the wilderness and encounters God at the burning bush and ascends to the top of Mount Sinai. Experience one of the Bible's most epic stories as Moses comes to life with massive sets, special effects, and live animals in this original stage production from Sights and Sounds. So we are doing the story of Moses next year. It'll probably be the week after the 4th of July. So if you're interested in seeing the story of Moses, we will be glad to take your group up there. You can give us a call at Tire Surgeon Travel at 866-547-5362. And the trip to see the story of David at Sights and Sounds was amazing. But we also went to Flight 93 National Memorial in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. And that is simply an amazing, amazing place. The story that I tell at the beginning of the show, the terrorists drove United Flight 93 into the field at 563 miles per hour. What I read was the plane was inverted and hit the ground at 563 miles an hour. The plane hit so hard, the ground swallowed it up, and then the FBI came, and the ATF, and the NTSB, and every other agency with a shred of jurisdiction. Thousands of people, FBI agents, sat on their knees and combed the ground with their fingers. They excavated the crater down 40 feet. They removed every scrap of steel, every piece of flesh. They tore the place apart, and then they paved it all over with dirt. So we went to the memorial, which is a national park now, and it's called the Flight 93 National Memorial. It is the nation's memorial to the passengers and crew of Flight 93. The Tower of Voices stands in musical tribute at the gateway to the memorial. The visitor center complex on the hill above the crash site introduces their story. The memorial plaza borders the crash site, which consists of the impact site marked by a boulder and a debris field, and the fields and woods beyond are the final resting place for the passengers and crew, and their remains are still present. So we went to the Flight 93 National Memorial, which sits on the top of a hill, where the plane actually crashed at is not Shanksville, Pennsylvania. Where it actually crashed at is Somerset. And it sits on the top of a hill, and they've built a nice memorial to the death of the people that died on that flight. It's a pretty amazing flight. Place to go to, and we'll get into that in the second half of the show. But there's a story to be told about the city of Shanksville. The city of Shanksville, in the very beginning, before they built the National Memorial, people would come up to try and see the site but didn't know where to go. So people from Shanksville will come up and help the visitors find the correct spots. And this particular day, it was a Sunday, and the pool of Shanksville United Methodist Church was full. This lady stood up, and she mentioned that they needed to go up there and help the outsiders, because they're lost and they need a human presence. Because before they built the memorial, it was just an area on top of the hill. As a matter of fact, one of the pictures they show was how the firefighters had a tough time just getting to the crash site because it was nothing up there. There was nothing up there but woods, and the crash site is actually about 18 minutes flying time from Washington D.C. because the hijackers turned the plane around about time they got to Cleveland, and they tried to hit it back to D.C. The plane actually left Washington at 8:46 a.m. and at about 9:28 is about the time the terrorists took over the plane, and they headed it back towards Washington, D.C. So there's a timeline, but this city, Shanksville, before the memorial was built, would go up there and help people find where the crash site actually was. Four months after the attack, this group of townspeople from Shanksville created a schedule, assigned each volunteer a different time slot, and that way, whenever a tourist arrived, they met a local guide, and nobody knew much back then, so volunteers kept it short. United Flight 93 left Newark for San Francisco at 8:42. It carried 39 passengers, 7 crew, 4 terrorists, and 11,000 gallons of jet fuel. The terrorists took control over Cleveland. They crashed in Shanksville, 80 miles southeast of Pittsburgh, on a course for Washington, D.C. Volunteers received a three-ring binary pictures to help visitors get their bearings. Some nights, the binary wasn't enough. It was so cold that first winter, so dark, volunteers created the photo albums against the steering wheel. They spun their cars around to aim downhill, marking the site of the crash with their headlights. So back then, it was pitch black, and there was no lights. The whole car was shaped because it gets really windy up there. Even when we went up there a week ago, if you listen to some of the videos that we'll play in the second half of the show, it was so windy up there. So strangers would get in their car, and then they would show them the way to go to see the site. So this little town, Shanksville, took care of all the guests before they built the memorial the way it is today. And you got to remember, on 9/11, America was attacked. And from the crash, a nearby resident on September 11th marked the first time that terrorists used commercial airplanes as a weapon to destroy symbolic targets, commit mass murder, and spread fear. Al-Qaeda had targeted the World Trade Center and U.S. Capitol government. So it was tragic, but even for the fire department to get up to the crash site was pretty remarkable because at that time there was no roads. When you go there now, there's roads. They have a walking path that will take you down to the crash site. They have a wall with all the names on it, but it's a pretty amazing memorial, and that's just part of that we did when we went to Lancaster, Pennsylvania. We traveled from Lancaster to 9/11, and we also got a chance to visit Shanksville because we kind of got lost. And just so you know, one of the little known facts was the plane crashed just 2 miles short of a school that had children in it at the time. And another story that is told to me, and I'm not able to confirm it, but another story that was told to me during the time all this was going on is that they scrambled airplanes from the airport at Toledo, Ohio, because they have an Air Force base there. You know what? I'll get more into the story in the second half. But look up in the sky. It's the superhero of travel. It's Ricky Tyus from It's Your Time to Travel on TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio the way it should be heard.
Hey, I'm Haley Kyoko, and I know what it's like to struggle with mental health issues. If you have a friend that's going through a tough time, now is the perfect moment to reach out. Learn how to start the conversation at seizetheawkward.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes at age 33, with not one day off since. But JDRF has my back, funding research toward a cure, prevention, and treatments that really help the millions like me to have a better life. The scientists funded by JDRF test themselves every day so that someday I won't have to. Join us. Your help is our hope. JDRF, improving lives, curing type 1 diabetes.
What kind of help does the IRS have for identity theft victims?
If you suspect you're a victim of tax-related identity theft, go to irs.gov/identity theft to learn how to prevent potential refund fraud and protect your tax account. At the IRS, combating tax-related identity theft is a top priority, and we are committed to prevention, detection, and assisting victims. And we're working with law enforcement to catch the criminals. For more info, go to irs.gov/identity theft to learn what the IRS is doing to help protect you.
It's our home, it's our dream. For life that's healthy and clean, make it green, green, green.
My mom said making it green is making sure the air in your home is healthy for your family to breathe. Make sure you test your home for radon. It's easy. Just call 866-730-GREEN.
Make it green, green, green.
A message from the US EPA.
Okay, kids, dad's gonna teach you how to dance. First, spread your feet apart. Then, a pump your knee.
Dance like a dad. It's a great way to make a moment with your kids. Visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
When you shop Goodwill, you don't just bring home a vintage dress or cat lamp. You bring home so much good to your community. Because everything you buy funds local job training and more. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Our government doesn't seem to care that 9 million children have no health insurance, even though every dollar spent immunizing children against illness saves more than $16 in medical costs to make them better. Doesn't anyone see? We're wasting money and allowing children to get sick.
I am Susie Flynn. A vote for me is a vote for the 9 million uninsured children.
9 million uninsured children need a solution now. For more information, go to electsusie.com.
My name is Al Edmondson. I'm a business owner and community organizer. I want to encourage you to visit the King Lincoln District, our community. It's a great place to live, work, and worship. Catch a show at the Lincoln Theater. Enjoy smooth jazz at the King Arts Complex. Enjoy great food and visit our historical churches and newly remodeled homes. Live, work, and worship the King Lincoln District.
What kind of help does the IRS have for identity theft victims?
Look up in the sky. It's the superhero of travel. It's Ricky Tyers from It's Your Time to Travel on TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio the way it should be heard. And today's show is called 9/11 Made This Tiny Pennsylvania Town World Famous. And the town that we're talking about is Shanksville, Pennsylvania. We're talking about Shanksville, Pennsylvania. And during 9/11, the terrorists drove United Flight 93 into the field at 563 miles per hour. When I was at the memorial, I read that the plane was inverted and hit the ground at 563 miles per hour. The plane hit so hard, the ground swallowed it up. Then everybody came, the FBI, the ATF, the NTSB, and thousands of people. FBI agents sat on their knees and combed the ground with their fingers. They excavated the crater down 40 feet. They removed every scrap of steel, every piece of flesh. They tore this place apart, and then they paved over it with dirt. And the story that is being told is what happened after 9/11 and before they built the memorial. So what you're looking at now, what you're looking at now is they have a map that shows the path of the flight. So how this memorial is built, all that area is towards the crash site. So as you walk down that area, you're going to walk to an end, and then you'll see the wall of names, and you'll see the crash site. But this is like an arrow. How this is built is like an arrow pointing to the crash site. So what you're looking at is the center. What you're looking at is the center that leads to the crash site. So from that crash site, they have walkways where you can walk all the way down to the wall of names. What we did was we got back on the bus and took the bus down to the wall of names. But this right here is the Memorial Center. And it's National Memorial Center. And it kind of guides you to the crash site. So the video that we're showing is video of the Memorial Center. We're showing you the Memorial Plaza, which is down below. And we're going to show you the Tower of Voices. The Tower of Voices is simply amazing. But again, this is this continues to be the National Memorial Center. So you get to the end, and you're looking down. Move your finger. You're looking down at the crash site and the wall of names. And there's 40 names on the wall that they're talking about. And how they explain this is that it's a common field one day and a field of honor forever. And they name the crew members and the passengers, and they tell you what happened on 9/11. On September 11th, 2001 morning, four commercial airlines are hijacked by Al-Qaeda terrorists in a planned attack against the United States. Two are flown into the World Trade Center. The World Trade Center Twin Towers in New York City. A third is flown into the Pentagon in Arlington, Virginia. And the fourth plane, United Flight 93, a Boeing 757 born for San Francisco, California from Newark, New Jersey, is delayed 25 minutes before takeoff. What you're looking at now is the voice, is a tower of voices. The Tower of Voices are pretty amazing. It represents all 40 passengers on the plane, and it has 93 chimes. So you can hear it when the wind blows, that it makes a noise. It makes a tremendous noise. And it stands 93 feet high is how tall that is. It is 93 feet high, and it has 40 different chimes to represent the passengers that died on the plane. And when the wind blows, and the wind blows up there consistently, it makes noises. It makes tremendous noises. And that's at the beginning of the memorial. So as you come in, you see the Tower of Voices for Flight 93. Okay, all that's pretty amazing. But to get back to the story, of what happened that day. After 46 minutes flying went over eastern Ohio, hijackers in first class attacked at 9:28 a.m., knocking out the captain and the first officer. And hijackers turned Flight 93 southeast, headed for D.C., most likely the U.S. Capitol. And just before 10 a.m., the plane is seen flying low over southwestern Pennsylvania, and at 10:03, it crashes upside down at 563 miles per hour into the Somerset County field. There are no survivors. All 33 passengers, 7 crew members, and 4 hijackers are killed. So the story I was starting to tell at the beginning of the show was a story that was told to me, and I've not confirmed it, but a story that was told to me was that they, in Toledo, Ohio, they have an Air Force base. And jets were scrambled from the Air Force base in Toledo. The pilots were scrambled from the Air Force base in Toledo to take out this jet. They realized that the bombs they had on their jets weren't big enough to take their plane down, so they went up to Michigan, reloaded, and then scrambled to take the jet down. And their instructions were, if you can't take it down, to ram it. But this jet had to come down. And, of course, they didn't have to do any of that, but the pilots today still suffer from the fact that they had to scramble to shoot down an airplane, and they still have mental effects from that today. One pilot had to retire, and they're still suffering from having to scramble to take this jet down. But fortunately, the passengers and the crew of that plane crashed the plane. And today, the memorial kind of stands as a testament to what they did in taking this plane down. And this memorial is pretty amazing. If we have the video that shows the plaza, it shows pictures of all the people that was on the plane that went down, and it was an assortment of people on the plane. It was 33 passengers and 7 crew members that went down, and it's pretty amazing in the story that they tell about this. And this memorial, as you go inside, center, it actually starts the story off how it started from the very beginning and how it ended. They give everybody, all the passengers and crew members, this is the plaza, and the plaza kind of tells a story. The plaza, I could take video. The memorial, I couldn't. So so this is the plaza, and it kind of tells a story. It tells a story of what happened that day. And as you go further, it shows a picture of everybody that was on the plane, crew, passengers. It shows a picture of everybody. And the plaza leads up to the Wall of Names. I didn't go all the way down to the Wall of Names because the picture right there shows everybody that died on that plane on September 11th. But as you go further, you you can walk down a pathway, and you can walk down to the Wall of Names. This place is a pretty sad place. It's a pretty sad place because it's just so lonely. It's so lonely on top of that mountain. And the only thing you hear is the wind blowing. You hear the wind blowing. You hear the chimes. You hear the chimes going. But it's such a lonely, lonely place. And the crew members and the passengers, this is their final resting place. And all this happened on 9/11, September 11th, 2001. We visited this place. We probably spent a couple hours there. It's just a remarkable place. It is a national park. So they had a stamp that we've been here and that we visited this national park. I had to report how many people we had on the bus, but this is a national park. It is free. And at 11:30 and 1:30, the troopers give a tour of the place. Of course, we missed it because we got there late. But you're able to go to their website and listen to the troopers tell the story of 9/11. That is available. That was a pretty amazing place. And again, the title of today's story is 9/11 Made This Tiny Pennsylvania Town World Famous. So to get back to that story, Shanksville, which is just a 2 miles from the crash site, really the United Methodist Church there, they really buckled down. And in the very beginning, before they built the memorial, they showed visitors who wanted to see the crash site, they showed them the way of where it was. They even assigned people. They assigned people from the town that they took turns sitting on top of that hill. So when visitors came, they could take them to the crash site. So the problem this city had is that in the very beginning, when everybody was coming to the crash site, FBI, the news, all these people, they provided them with food and clothing, because a lot of them came with, they had no toothbrush, they had no clothes, so they provided them with food, everything that they needed, because when they came, they had none of that. So this tiny town, Shanksville, provided all that before the memorial was built. And a lot of people became exhausted. There's a writer that wrote a story, and his story is called 9/11 Made a Tiny Pennsylvania Town World Famous. 20 years later, it feels left out. So now that the memorial is built, Shanksville feels left out. They're not getting any revenue from the National Center. They're getting no revenue from that. A lot of people have moved. We drove through the town, and it was pretty, how can I say it, quiet. Shanksville was pretty quiet. We actually was on the wrong path to the memorial, and we had to get out the bus and talk to some workers that was doing some work on the street, and they turned us around and guided us the right way. But just 20 years later, Shanksville feels left out after giving as much as they gave in the very beginning before anything was built. They totally feel left out. And their local volunteer fire department was on the scene of the crash site. One of the horrific pictures that they show is how hard it was to get to the crash site because it had no roads. And this is a volunteer fire department. These people were volunteer, and they were the first ones on the scene of the crash site. So all that's pretty amazing how this little town kept this site alive until they actually built the National Memorial. And if you ever get a chance to go to this area, please do, because it will just let you know how much people sacrifice so that we can be here today. Because the terrorists were definitely trying to take out the Pentagon with one of the planes. And just the unknown story is that how hard Shanksville took care of that crash site after everybody had left and until they built the National Museum there. So it's pretty amazing. They use their cars to take people up to the top of the mountain, and it's not a hill, it's a mountain. To take people up on the top of the mountain, they use their headlights to shine on the spot where the plane went down. And most of the time, in the wintertime, it was pitch black up there. Also, when it first happened, they fed the FBI, they fed the news people, they closed the people, gave them toothbrushes, just gave them everything. So it's pretty amazing how Shanksville at that time had a population of about 224 people, 100 houses, 3 churches, 1 convenience store, and they also had the most important event of the 21st century. So the town today feels left out. You know, home to 224 people, 100 houses. Most of you guys have that much in your neighborhood. And they really took care of the crash site until they built the National Memorial. That's the reason why it says today that they feel left out, that they absolutely feel left out. Their volunteer fire department, and if you ever go see this place and how it sits on top of a hill, and at this time there was no roads there, the volunteer fire department struggled to get to the crash site. They struggled to get to the crash site. They gave the FBI all the visitors clothes because they all arrived with no clothes, no toothbrush. They fed them, kept them warm. And today, Shanksville feels left out. It feels totally left out. So we went there from Lancaster, Pennsylvania. It was 167 miles. Took us a few hours to get there, about 3 hours to get there. But it was well worth the trip. And if you ever get a chance, you need to visit their website and listen to the troopers tell the story of 9/11. They do a fantastic job about that. Again, what did I say? This was a town of about 224 people. And after everybody left that crash site, they absolutely took care of everything. So again, we're looking at the Memorial Plaza. One of the amazing pictures there is the people that died on board Flight 93 from New Jersey, and it was people from all walks of life, all walks of life. It was. It was blacks, it was whites, just people from all walks of life gave their life that day to crash that plane. And it's totally amazing. If the terrorists had flown the plane a few seconds longer, they would have annihilated a Shanksville school. Instead, the jet crashed in a field, sending black smoke over the tree lines. Children on the third floor of the school saw the smoke from their classroom windows, and a few adults in Shanksville saw it too. So this was a horrific event, and so this person really, really put everything together. She put everything together, they organized the people. If the plane would have crashed a few seconds later, it would have crashed into a school, because the school was right on that path. And that particular day, the school was packed. So when we talk about how this tiny, tiny Pennsylvania town feels left out, it's because in between the time of the crash until they built the memorial, this town, this United Methodist Church, took care of everybody that visited the site. They went so far as to assign people times to sit up on that mountain and wait for visitors to come so they could take them to the crash site. There's times that they actually drove people up on the mountain to take them to the crash site. In the dead of winter, in the darkness at night, there's somebody that stood on that mountain so if visitors came, they could show them the crash site. So today, 20 years later, Shanksville, Pennsylvania feels left out. And I will say, in driving through Shanksville, it was a very lonely town. In the story that this particular guy writes about Shanksville, there's people that moved away, that United Methodist Church was no longer, didn't have as many members as they had before, because people had moved away. They had given all that they could give, and they just feel that they never got anything back in return. Never got anything back in return. And now the memorial is built, the Flight 9311 memorial is built, and it's built on top of this mountain where the plane crashed. And the only noise you hear is the wind blowing. There's no other noise, and the tower of voices is the two noise that you hear when you're up on that mountain, the wind blowing and the tower of voices. It's a pretty amazing place. If you get a chance, you should visit it. And if you can't visit it personally, you need to go online and read all about it. But Flight 93 was destined to D.C. to take out the Pentagon. And the passengers of the plane forced it down at 563 miles per hour into the ground. It made a crater so big that it swallowed up the plane. It absolutely swallowed up the plane, and the pictures of the hole is totally amazing. Totally amazing. Recover from the crash site, the cockpit voice recorder captured the shouts, thumps, crashes, and breaking of glass and plates. The 9/11 Commission reported that the hijackers, although remaining in control of the plane, must have judged that the passengers and crew were mere seconds from overcoming them. To continue sounds of the counterattack, Flight 93 crashed into this field. The crash site is 18 minutes flying time from Washington, D.C., and the actions of the unarmed passengers and crew defeated the terrorist plan. So if you get a chance, visit the site. It's totally amazing. Shot a few video of it, but you really have to visit the place to get the full feel of it. There's a story where this guy talks about how the town feels left out. As a matter of fact, when he told his story, there's people that didn't want to talk to him. It's your time to travel. Look up in the sky. It's a superhero travel with Ricky Tyus, and we're able to take you around the world. by air, land, or sea, even by flying saucer, and we're live on TalkTainmentRadio.com, radio the way it should be heard.